الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، our previous class discussing what the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, with regards to the beautiful names of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, العلي الأعلى المتعال, العلي والأعلى والمتعال. Likewise, other names that are similar to these names and the meaning, like Al-Zahir and Al-Qahir, from the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Ali, the Most High. Al-A'la, the Highest, and the Most High. And Al-Muta'al, Supreme and High, Supreme Exaltedness and Highness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, Al-Zahir, the Most High, the one whom none is above. And Al-Qahir, the one who is the Most High in power, authority, and dominion over his entire creation. We have seen that the attribute that is derived from these beautiful names here, Al-Ali, Wal-A'la, Wal-Muta'al, is Sifatu Al-Ulu. Al-Ulu. What's that mean? Al-Ulu. Highness, to be high, to be elevated. To be high, to be elevated. The verb is Ala Ya'lu, to go up, to elevate, to rise, to go up. Al-Ulu. Al-Ulu. And the author clarified that with regards to the creed of Ahl Sunnah, there are three aspects of Ulu that's affirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can remind us of all three of them. The first one, Ulu al-Dhat. Ulu al-Dhat. What does that mean? That Allah Himself, His divine essence, is high and lofty. It's high and lofty above the creation, separate and distinct from the creation. Separate and distinct from the creation. So here in this creed, whenever we say separate and distinct from the creation, what's the word used in the Arabic language? Ba'inun min khalqihi. Ba'inun min khalqihi. So that means separate, distinct from his creation. What is intended from that? He's not in the creation, nor is the creation in him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's separate from the creation. There's the creation. And above the creation is Allah. And Allah, He's not in the creation. And the creation is not inside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa yadu billah. Ba'inu min khalqihi. So this is the first aspect. Ulu is that. Ulu is that. That the divine essence, Allah Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala, is high and lofty. High and lofty above the creation. Separate and distinct from the creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second aspect. Ulu. Ulu al-qahr. Ulu al-Qahr. What does that mean? He has power, dominion, authority, command. He has authority, command, and control over the entire creation. All the creation is under his dominion and subdued to his command, authority, and majesty. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And none can escape from him and his decree. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. The third aspect. Ulu al-Sha'n. What does that mean? Another word for sha'an. Manzila. Ahsanta. Ulu al-manzila. Yani the high and lofty status. So this is with regards to all of his attributes. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of his attributes are attributes. The peak of highness and loftiness and perfection and beauty. And majesty and glory and honor. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the issue that we have been discussing. And the author, after that, he mentioned evidences from the book in the Sunnah establishing the sifat ulu al-dhat, the ulu al-dhat, yani that Allah, His divine essence, He Himself is above the heavens, high and lofty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we're discussing in our previous class. So we continue reading, and the next question is related to that which has preceded. He said, rahimahullah, su'al, question, ماذا قال أئمة الدين من السلف الصالح في مسألة الاستواء? What did the imams of the religion from the pious predecessors say regarding the issue of al-istiwa? Allah's rising over the throne. Allah's rising over the throne. So this is a specific type of ulu. So we have the ulu with that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Himself is high and lofty. He Himself is high and lofty. And this is something that is ingrained in the fitrah of the human being, as Allah has created the human being to know these affairs, by the natural disposition that Allah is high and lofty. That Allah is high and lofty. And that's whenever a person is in dire need, he looks to the heavens for help. to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is above the heavens, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he wants divine help, then the heart automatically it goes to the heavens, seeking help and seeking relief, seeking help and seeking relief. It's even been mentioned that sometimes it's seen that from some of the animals, whenever they're in pain or the like, that their heads will raise likewise to the sky, looking for relief. So this is something that is known. No one denied this except for Al-Jahmiyyah, waliyadu billah. Al-Jahmiyyah, waliyadu billah. Who are they? Who is the founder of their creed? Jahm ibn Safwan. Jahm ibn Safwan. He died in the year 128. 128. Kana. He was a deviant. He was a deviant innovator. Waliyadu billah. Many of the scholars, they declared him to be a disbeliever. To be a disbeliever. Halaka fi zamani sigar tabi'in. He died in the era of the smaller or the later generation of the tabi'in. And in the year 128, Dhahabi mentioned about him whenever he died, was zara'a sharran aziman. And he planted great evil. And he left behind great evil, waliyadu billah. And that evil is claiming that the Quran is created based upon his creed, denying the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who followed his way, they were ascribed to him, Al-Jahmiyyah, and they're the Mu'attila. They're those who deny the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Branching from them, many other deviant sects likewise, and some of them are more severe in their deviation than others, but all of them, they share in the fact that they deny the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either all of them or some of them, and they have different methodologies and ways to deny them. But in the end, they all end up making ta'til and denying the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this aspect, the scholars of hadith, they call all of them Jahmiyyah. They'll speak about the Asha'irah, say the Jahmiyyah. What do they mean by that? That their original Jahmiyyah following that deviant sect of that severity? No, what do they mean by that? They're also from those who deny the attributes of Allah azza wa jalla. Although the Asha'irah are less severe than some of those other deviant sects, they still deny the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And they have different means to do that. Even the ones that they do affirm, they affirm them the way that Ahl Sunnah affirmed them. So they're considered Jahmiyyah from this aspect. You'll find the people of Allah is referring to them in this way. So this is the sifa of ulu. Ulu with that, this is something that is understood, is known from the text clearly in the book and the Sunnah, and likewise from the fitrah and the sound mind as well. Can understand and realize that Allah is not in the ground. He's not in the earth. The true God is not in the earth. He's not in this world. He's above the creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there's another specific aspect of ulu, and this is al-istiwa. Al-istiwa. This is a specific type of ulu. Allah, he rose above the throne. So this is something that requires evidence and text. And there are many evidences and texts with regards to that. Rather, there are seven verses in the book of Allah clarifying this affair. As the author, he mentioned, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى. And he's seven verses mentioning this affair, that Allah, he rose above the throne in a manner befitting his majesty. So the author, he says, rahimahullah, what did the imams of the religion say about from the pious predecessors? What did the imams of the religion from the pious predecessors say regarding al-istiwa, the issue of al-istiwa? So he said, rahimahullah, al-jawab, the answer, قولهم بأجمعهم رحمهم الله تعالى الاستواء غير مجهول والكيف غير معقول والإيمان به واجب والسؤال عنه بدعة ومن الله الرسالة وعلى الرسول البلاغ وعلينا التصديق والتسليم. And he's summarizing here what the pious predecessors, the Salaf al-Salih, they have established with regards to the creed of believing in the istiwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their unanimous statement, may Allah have mercy on them, is that the istiwa, rising, is known. The how is unknown. Belief in it is obligatory. And asking about it is an innovation. The message is from Allah, and conveyance was upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our duty is to affirm it and submit. So this here's two statements, and two issues here. And the first one is well known, ascribed to Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. But even before him, there are scholars of hadith mentioned that similar situations and circumstances have came in after him, no doubt. after him, no doubt. But this issue here is well known and ascribed to Al Imam Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullah ta'ala. Al Imam Malik, Abu Abdullah, Malik ibn Anas, Al Asbahi, Imam Dar al Hijrah, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 179. A great scholar of hadith, as well as one of the four great imams of this ummah, whom their statements are accepted and relied upon in general, especially with regards to the issues of jurisprudence and fiqh. But it's an amazing affair how many of those who claim to follow Al-Imam Malik and his madhab, they only follow that in issues of jurisprudence and fiqh and the application of the actions of worship and rulings related to dealings and transactions. As for the creed of Imam Malik, then they cast that behind their back and they follow other deviant ways. And likewise, as for the methodology and the way that they follow properly, it's not the way of Imam Malik. Likewise, they'll follow the ways of the Sufiya, the Turuq al-Sufiya. So you'll find one of them ascribing to them that he said that he's a Maliki in his fiqh, jurisprudence, and he's Sufi, the one tariqah, picking the way that he goes in his. In his suluk, in his way that he worships, and he's Ash'ari in his creed. Subhanallah, mulaffaq. And he's just mixing all the things around. So if you accept and are pleased with Imam Malik as an imam for you in jurisprudence, why don't you follow him in the greater affair, in his creed, and understanding of the foundation of the deen? Why you cast that behind your back and follow someone else and follow another way? And then even in the application of the worship and the seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did you choose another way likewise? So they follow one of the tariqah, the Sufiyyah. He's this madhab in fiqh, and then Naqshbandi, oh, like this in worship, the way that he worships and the way that he seeks nearness to Allah. And then he's Ash'ari or Maturidi in Aqidah, all mixed up and confused and deviant. Waliyadu billah. So Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he is well known for this statement. A man came into the masjid and asked him a question. He said, Ar-Rahman ala arsh istawa. Ar-Rahman ala al-arshi istawa. Kayf istawa? Kayf istawa? That man, he said, he asked Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, that Allah, he says, Allah, he rose above the throne. The most gracious, he rose above the throne. Ar-Rahman ala arsh istawa. The most gracious, he rose above the throne. How did he rise above the throne? He asked this. So it's been mentioned that Imam Malik, he became very heated and he was calm for a minute and he lowered his head. And he started, he began sweating because he was very disturbed by the man's question. Then, whenever he raised his head, he mentioned the statement that's well known. And it's been transmitted with different wordings, but all of them are similar. In the meaning, and he mentioned, like the author he's mentioning here, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-istiwa'u ghayru majhul. Al-istiwa'u ghayru majhul. It's been mentioned like this, or it's been mentioned also the same meaning, al-istiwa'u ma'lum. Ma'lum yani ghayru majhul. Ma'lum is known. Ghayru majhul means it's not unknown. Right, so something that's not unknown, meaning that it's known. So this is what is intended here. Al-istiwa'u ma'lum, ghayru majhul. The istiwa is known. It's not unknown. It's not something that is hidden from us. What does he intend by that? The meaning of the word al-istiwa is known. What does it mean? Ala wartafa'a. Ala wartafa'a. It means to go up. The word al-istiwa, it means to go up. It means to go up. This is the meaning in the Arabic language. Al-istiwa al-ulu wa al-irtifa. This is the meaning of the in the Arabic language. To rise and to go up. To rise and to go up. So al-istiwa is known. Meaning the meaning of this word is known. Wal-kayfu ghayru ma'qul. And the how, the manner how, cannot be comprehended. And another wording, wal-kayfu majhul, and the kayf is unknown. It's unknown, it cannot be comprehended. Why?
Unknown.
Because it's unknown. Why? Because Allah, he did not tell us how he rose above the throne. And we have never seen Allah. And we have never seen anything resembling Allah. So the only way that we can speak about Allah is from true, reliable information about him. subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he did not tell us in his book how he rose above the throne. And his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not tell us how he rose above the throne. So therefore, how he rose above the throne is unknown to us. And we cannot imagine غَيْرٌ مَعْقُولٌ. It cannot be imagined in our mind because we've never seen Allah nor anything resembling to Allah to compare. If you see something, you know how it, if you see something, you know the reality of that thing. You can from there understand the attributes. Or if you haven't seen that thing, but you've seen something comparable or similar to it, now you can try to imagine and understand some of its attributes. But something that you've never seen, nor have you seen anything comparable to it, you have no way to think about it or to imagine it. And if you were to imagine it, it's all desires, whims, and misguidance. You understand that? Because you have no way. You've never seen it. You've never seen nothing like it. Anything that you say is just based upon your whims and what you think, with no evidence or proof whatsoever. You understand? So we've never seen Allah. Inshallah, we hope to see Him in the hereafter. May Allah make us from those who are successful. And we've never seen anything comparable to Him, because there's nothing comparable to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we cannot speak about Allah or any of the affairs of the unseen, except with al-khabar al-sadiq. Al-khabar al-sadiq, except for with truthful information, any reliable information. Reliable information from the Quran or from the Sunnah. Reliable information from the Quran or from the Sunnah. From the affairs of the unseen, we must have reliable information. How the attributes of the angels even. That's from the creation. We don't even know how the angels are. How are we going to speak about the Lord of the angels? What about the throne, the greatest of the creation, the largest of the most extensive, vast of the creation? Well, we've never seen it. So we can't speak about it. We can't speak about it. Some of the people that deviate with regards to these affairs from the early days. It's been narrated from Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, rahimahullah, he died in the year 198, that there was a young man who was doubting about the sifat, and he was affected by the deviant ideologies, and he said, come here, let me talk to you. He said, let me ask you a question about a creation from the creation of Allah. Never mind, stop pondering about the creation. Let's talk about the creation. He said, an angel. Allah, he says, جَعَلَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ رُسُلًا أُولِي أَجْنِحَةٍ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ رُبَعَ. That Allah has made the angels messengers. And they have wings, some with two, some with three, some with four. He said to him, two wings, I can imagine it. One on the right side, one on the left side. He said, three wings, where's the third one go? Where's the third one go? Right? Where's the third wing go? I don't know. I don't. He said, you're right, Imam. I don't know. So if we don't understand the reality of a creation from the creation of Allah, how do you think you're going to be able to understand and comprehend and imagine the creator of creation? You can't even figure out an angel from the angels. You can imagine how Allah created the angels. SubhanAllah, this is from something from the creation. Even your own soul, how is that? How is your soul? What's it look like? What color is it? If you were to talk about that, you'll be a fool. If you were to say, oh, my mind is this color, and mine is that color, and mine, astaghfirullah ya akhi. What's the evidence for that? Can you see it? It's not something you can see. You have no evidence or proof to speak about the ruh, or to speak about the soul. Only what has been mentioned in the book and the sunnah. Only what has been mentioned in the book and the sunnah. So the affairs of the unseen, we are not allowed to speak about them except with the evidence. Reliable evidence from the book and from the sunnah. وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ إِلْمٌ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Do not seek and go after things you have no knowledge of. Do not speak and step into arenas you have no knowledge of. Do not speak about things you don't know and have proof with regards to. Because indeed, the hearing and the seeing and the mind and the intellect, it's all going to be taken to account. It's all going to be taken to account. So, like he said, rahimahullah, al-kayfu majhul. Al-kayf majhul. How Allah rose above the throne, this is unknown. غَيْرُ مَعْقُولٍ. It cannot be imagined. Cannot be imagined. We understand this? This is clear? We want to understand this because this is a statement of an imam. An imam. So the imams of the sunnah, they can be right and they can be wrong. They're not prophets and messengers. Right? But the majority of the time they're right. But sometimes they may be wrong. But the virtue and the times that they're right is so vast that the mistakes or errors that they may have or false or shortcomings are drowned out in the good that they brought. You understand? And that's why that's the case for the true imams. As for those who claim to be imams and are not truly from the people of knowledge, then they have some good with him, no doubt about that. And they have lots of problems and issues. And their goodness is drowned out in their problems and issues. That's the difference between the rightful imams and scholars and callers to his deen, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who resemble them and are not truly from them. So we want to analyze the statement, to look to see that it's clearly true. His statement here is clearly true, that the meaning of istiwa is known in the Arabic language. It's known. The people of knowledge, they have collected books clarifying the meaning of the words in the Arabic language all the way back to the early days. And even the books, the original dictionaries, they have changed going back to the original Arab. Al-Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah, he would go and sit in the desert for years with different tribes, learning their language and learning their dialect and learning the words that they use specifically and learning their poetry. And many people learned the poetry of the tribe of Hudayl specifically from Al-Imam al-Shafi. So the language was even preserved in this manner and transmitted like this. The Arab, they say this. This tribe says this, and that tribe says that. And this tribe uses this word like this, and that tribe uses this word like that. Until even the meanings of the words there, then the dictionaries there are written in this manner. So not only is the Quran preserved and the Sunnah preserved, but likewise the language of the Quran and the Sunnah is preserved. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah, He says, indeed, we are the ones who have revealed the reminder, the revelation, and we are the ones who are going to preserve it. So the Quran is preserved by the preservation of Allah, and the Sunnah is preserved by the preservation of Allah, and the language of the Quran and the Sunnah is preserved by the preservation of Allah, and the understanding and application of the Quran and Sunnah is preserved by the preservation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِنْ أُمَّتِي ظَاهِرِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ مِنْ خَالَفَهُمْ وَلَا مَنْ حَذَرَهُمْ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. There always remain a group of my ummah, victorious, upright, steadfast upon the truth. No harm will come to them from those who abandon them, nor those who oppose them until the command of Allah comes. Until the command of Allah comes. So this is the creed. We're studying their creed. Al-Ta'ifa al-Mansura. Al-Ta'ifa al-Mansura. So this statement is clear. Al-Istiwa is known. Ghayru majhul. This is not something that's unknown. Whether Istiwa is known. What does it mean? استوى يعني ارتفع على وارتفع على وارتفع. The كيف is غير معقول, or the كيف is مجهول. The how is unknown. We discussed this. This is clear, right? It's clear how this statement is true. What he's saying is correct. رحمه الله تعالى. والإيمان به واجب, and to believe in it is an obligation. Why? Is that right? To believe in it still is an obligation. Is that right? Why? Because Allah, He said in the Quran, seven places that He rose above the throne. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He described Himself with this attribute in more than one place. Read the seven different places in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. You understand that? So it's an obligation to believe that. We can't deny not even one letter in the book of Allah. We can't deny not even one letter in the book of Allah. So therefore, al-iman bihi wajib. This is true. And then He says, wasu'alu anhu bid'ah. And to ask about how, like you are, is an innovation. Why? Because the Salaf didn't ask. Those before Imam Malik, he's from the Atba' al-Tabi'een. He's from the Atba' al-Tabi'een. What's that mean? After the Tabi'een, what's that mean though? And he's a student of the students of the companions. He's a student of the students of the companions. So he never met a companion, but he met those who met the companions. And it's Imam Malik. So whenever he's talking about this, the people who preceded him, and his teachers were the tabi'un, the students of the companions. You understand that? So he's saying, as-su'alu anhu bid'ah. Why? Because the tabi'un, they didn't ask about this. And that's because the sahaba didn't ask about this. So therefore, to ask about something like this from the affairs of the unseen that they didn't ask about, this is called bid'ah. This is called bid'ah. And then he says, wala araka. He said, I don't think anything about you except you're an innovator. Take him out of here. Take him out of here. So he was removed. He was removed. He was removed. So this is the famous narration from Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah. The people of knowledge, they mentioned this is with regards, this is an amazing principle, how he established his refutation against this man with his deviant ideology. He's coming in this manner. And this is the principle. And understanding all of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any of them, all of them the same. Bab sifat wahid. The issue of the studying the sifat of Allah azza wa jalla, it's one. It's one. We don't make differences. It's one. So whether you talk about the istiwa, or you talk about the ilm, or you talk about the rahmah, or you talk about the sama', or you talk about the basar, any of the, you talk about the yad, you talk about the wajh, any of the attributes of Allah azza wa jalla, His hearing, His seeing, His knowledge, and hayat, His life, His mercy, or His hands, or His face. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all the same. That attribute is known. Al-wajh, what's that mean in the Arabic language? That's known. The face, something that's facing. This is known in the Arabic language. As for how, it cannot be imagined. It's unknown. And to believe in it is an obligation. Why? Because Allah, He said, He had a face. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarifies that likewise. Clarified that likewise. So to believe in it is an obligation. And to ask about it is an innovation. Is an innovation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hands. We know what hands mean. Yad, yadan. Bal yadahu mabsutatan. Bal yadahu mabsutatan. Rather, both of his hands are outstretched. He has two hands. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wakilta rabbika yameen. And both of the hands of your Lord is right. And both of them are powerful and strong with no deficiency or weakness whatsoever. With no deficiency or weakness whatsoever. His hands are powerful and strong. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has two hands. So we know what hands mean. But that they don't resemble anything from the hands of the creation, right? Because how the hands are is unknown. It cannot be imagined. And the same reason why it has proceeded, right? To believe in it is an obligation. And to ask how they are is an innovation. So this is the case with all of the attributes, barakallahu fikum. So this was the statement of Imam Malik. From his teachers was a great scholar. His name is Muhammad ibn Shihab. Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, rahimahullah. He died in the year 124. He's from the greatest scholars of hadith and from the first to collect the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in written form and transmit them to the ummah in this manner. He's the one who mentioned the statement here. It's found in Sahih Bukhari. Min Allahi ar-risala wa ala rasuli al-balaw. Min Allahi ar-risala وَعَلَى الرَّسُولِ الْبَلَاءُ وَعَلَيْنَا التَّسْلِيمُ. This is what's been narrated from him. So he's mentioning that here. وَمِنَ اللَّهِ الرِّسَالَةُ, and the message is from Allah. وَعَلَى الرَّسُولِ وَعَلَى الرَّسُولِ الْبَلَاءُ, and the right of conveying that message is upon the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he conveyed that message properly and honestly and truthfully until it was complete. وَعَلَيْنَا التَّسْلِيمُ وَالتَّسْلِيمُ, and what is upon us, the duty upon us is to affirm it and to submit. Is to affirm it and to submit. So the message has come from Allah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he conveyed that in entirety with the fulfilling the trust sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now it's upon us to surrender and to submit. Now it's upon us to surrender and to submit. So Allah, he says that he rose above the throne, so that we say Allah, he rose above the throne. As for the how, Allah, he did not clarify that, so we say that he did that in a manner befitting his majesty. As for rising above the throne, rising, then the word is istiwa, we know what it means. But how Allah, he did it, we do not know how he did it, because he did not inform us subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we will never deny it, because we will not deny something that Allah affirmed for himself in his very book, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand that? And we do not ask how, delving into the affairs of the unseen, because the salaf who preceded us in righteousness and pious, they didn't ask how these affairs of the unseen are. And there's no way to know about affairs of the unseen except for with reliable information from the Quran and the Sunnah. The revelation has ceased at the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So to ask how now is falsehood and innovation. To ask how now about affairs of the unseen when there's no revelation coming to clarify these issues and to answer them with clarity in a reliable manner, it's not possible. So therefore, in asking about these issues now that have not been clarified from these issues of the unseen is an innovation. Is an innovation. So he says, Rahimahullah, wa hakadha qawluhum fi jami'i ayat al-asma'i wa sifati wa hadithiha. Amanna bihi kullun min indi rabbina. He said, and this is their position regarding all the verses and hadith related to the names and attributes of Allah. Related to the names and attributes of Allah. This is the position of As-Salaf As-Salih. Regards to all of the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla that have come in the Quran and in the Sunnah. They understand them in the same way. We believe in it. All of it is from our Lord. Amanna billahi wa shahada bi anna muslimun. He said, we believe in Allah and bear witness that we are Muslims. Those who submit to Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who submit to Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Rahimahullah, su'al, question. مَا دَلِيلُ عُلُوُ الْقَهَرِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. What is the evidence from the Quran for عُلُوُ الْقَهَرِ, the height of dominance, authority, command? الجواب, the answer, أَدِلَّتُهُ كَثِيرًا. The evidence for this are many. مِنْهَا قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. From them, the statement of Allah, The statement of Allah the Most High. وهو القاهر فوق عباده وهو متضمن لعلو القهر والفوقية. He said its evidence is on many, including his statement, the Most High, and he is the irresistible above his slaves. He said this verse includes both فوقية, highness, and قهر, absolute dominance. So both of them are derived from here. Huh? Both of those attributes are derived from this verse. This verse here is the evidence for علو الذات, right? وعلو وعلو القهر القاهر فوق عباده القاهر علو القهر فوق عباده الفوقية يعني علو الذات علو الذات that Allah is above his slaves. He in his essence, his divine essence, he's above his slaves. And likewise, he is above them in his authority and his command. القاهر فوق عباده. وقوله تعالى سبحانه سبحانه هو الله الواحد القهار. And the statement, and his statement, the Most High, glorified is He is Allah, the One, the Irresistible, the One, the Irresistible. القهار, يعني similar to the beautiful name القاهر. القهار, but this is صيغة مبالغة, صيغة مبالغة. القهار, the Irresistible, the Irresistible. سبحانه وتعالى. وقوله تعالى لمن الملك اليوم لله الواحد. Al-Qahar, the statement of Allah the Most High, to whom belongs the kingdom this day? This will be said on the day of resurrection, to Allah the One, the Irresistible. وقوله تعالى قل إنما أنا منذر وما من إله إلا الله الواحد القهار. Say to, in his statement, the Most High, say to them of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am only a warner, and there is no deity worthy of worship except for Allah the One, the Irresistible. وقوله تعالى ما من دابة إلا هو أخذ بناصيته. And the statement of Allah the Most High, there is no moving living, there is no living creature, but he has grasp of his forelock. يعني that, except that it's under the authority and command of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. وقوله تعالى يا معشر الجن والإنس إن استطعتم أن تنفذوا من قطار السماوات والأرض فانفذوا لا تنفذون إلا بسلطان. And Allah, he mentioned in his book the Most High, Oh, assembly of jinn and men, if you have power to pass beyond the zones of the heavens and the earth, then pass beyond them. But you will never be able to pass them except with authority. Any permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ. And there are many other verses as well. سؤال, question. مَا الدَّلِيلُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ السُنَّةِ. What is the evidence for this? Any Allah's dominance and complete authority from the sunnah. الجواب. The answer, أدلته من السنة كثيرة. This evidence is in the Sunnah are many. منها قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Among them is the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, أعوذ بك من شر كل دابة أنت آخذ بناصيتها. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you from the evil of every creature, from the evil of every creature that you have taken by the forelock, that you have taken by the forelock. This narration has proceeded. This is from the Adhkar unknown. From the Adhkar al-Nawm, had taken from the hadith of Suhail, narrating on his father, Abu Saleh, who taught him whenever they want to sleep, whenever they want to lay down for sleep, that they should say. And they mentioned he mentioned the Adhkar from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who narrated that from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that narration, أعوذ بك من شر كل دابة أنت أخذ بنفسيتها. And I seek refuge with you, oh Allah, from the evil of every creature you have taken by the forelock. Any every creature that you have authority and command of, meaning over all creatures. And this is a wording that is from, this is a wording here that's in Sunan Ibn Majah, from that dhikr. That dhikr which is mentioned at time of sleeping. And in the previous mention of this evidence here in the chapters that have passed, was a wording in Sunan Abi Dawood and Jami Tirmidhi, min kulli dhi sharrin anta akhidu binasiyatihi. And the wording that is in Sahih Muslim that we're discussing in our previous classes, likewise, min sharri kulli shay'in anta akhidu binasiyatihi. All of these are wordings that are affirmed for this particular dhikr that's mentioned at the time of sleeping. Whenever one lays down, let him lay on his right side and then mention any of the dhikr until the end of it. And part of it is here. So this is something that one, he will mention nightly. And every night upon laying down, he remembered this sifra, that his Lord is high and lofty above the heavens, above the throne, in the manner befitting majesty. And he has power and command and authority over all things, and that you seek refuge with him from all of those creatures and creations that Allah, he has command over, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is only he who can help you and save you from the evil of the creation. وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إني عبدك وابن عبدك وابن عمتك ناصيتي بيدك ماض في حكمك عدل في قضاؤك الحديث. And his statement صلى الله عليه وسلم, والله I am your slave, son of your male slave and son of your female slave. My forelock is in your hand. Your command over me is forever executed and your decree over me is ever just. And until the end of the hadith. And this narration likewise has proceeded from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu and who from the supplications that when he says in distress or worry, whenever he's worried or anxious in the night like this, and he will mention the supplication until the end of it. And in the end of it, what you ask for? Allahumma ja'al al-Qur'ana rabi'a qalbi wa nura sadri wa jira'a huzni wa dhahaba hammi wa dhahaba hammi. In the end of that supplication, this is the beginning, this is the tawassul. Seeking nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal by praising Him and confessing one's confessing the authority and dominance of Allah over them and the command of Allah over them and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then asking in the end of that for Allah to make the Quran the Rabi' of the heart, the Rabi' of the heart, of the heart, which is the spring. It means the life of the heart, and that means to remove all worry, stress, and grief. Worry, stress, and grief. And whoever says that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that all of those worries and problems will go away. وَقَوْلُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّكَ تَقْضِي وَلَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْكَ إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتَ وَلَا يَعِزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتَ وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ كَثِيرٌ. And his statement sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed, you decree and none can decree over you. None can humiliate the one you support and none can honor the one you oppose. And none will be humiliated from those whom you support, and none are honored from those who you oppose. لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت. لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت. Indeed, you decree, and none can decree over you. And no one whom you support will be humiliated, and no one whom you oppose can be honored. Can be honored. This is from the hadith of Al-Hasan, rahimahullah ta'ala, which is collected by Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Nasa'i ibn Majah. And likewise in Nasa'i, as well as Imam Ahmed. And this is a supplication that is mentioned. This is a supplication that is mentioned. Huh? إِنَّكَ تَقْضِي وَلَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْكَ إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتَ وَلَا يَعِزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتَ بَارَكْتَ وَتَعَالَيْتَ. Huh? Dua? Al-Qunut. Dua al-Qunut. When is that said? In the Witr prayer. In the Witr prayer every night. Inshallah, you just said it a few hours ago. Alhamdulillah. So again, these are supplications. So these are evidences from the Sunnah, but they're actually adhkar or ad'iyah and remembrances and supplications that one will say at specific times or for certain reasons. And all of this here is established. I mean, the point from the author and the evidence is that the ulu and qahar is clarified in these narrations, that Allah, He has authority, dominance, and command completely and entirety over the entire creation. The author, he says, rahimahullah, su'al, question, ما دليل علو الشأن وما الذي يجب نفيه عن الله عز وجل. What is the evidence for Allah's highness of status, علو الشأن, يعني منزلة, and what must be negated from Allah, the mighty and majestic? الجواب, the answer, اعلم أن علو الشأن هو ما تضمنه اسمه القدوس السلام الكبير المتعال وما في معناها واستلزمته جميع صفات كمال ونعوت الجلال. And know the highness of status. Know that the highness, he says, رحمه, and you must know that the highness of status is what is entailed in his names, Al-Quddus, the most holy, Al-Salam, the source of peace, Al-Kabir, the most great, and Al-Muta'al, the supremely exalted, and all that is similar in meaning to them. It is also required by all of his perfect attributes and majestic qualities. فتعالى في أحاديته أن يكون لغيره ملك أو قسط منه أو يكون عونا له أو ظهيرا أو شفيئا عنده بدون إذنه أو عليه يجير. He says رحمه الله, so he is exalted in his oneness, أحادية, above having a partner in ownership or even a share in it, or having any helper, supporter, or intercessor without his permission, or that anyone can protect against him. Or anyone can protect against him. So this is the high and lofty status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what is seen here in these beautiful names, Al-Quddus, Al-Quddus, yani the one who is pure and holy, no deficiency or weakness whatsoever. As-Salam, the one who is safe from every deficiency, weakness, or shortcoming. The one who is free from every weakness, deficiency, or shortcoming. The one who has absolutely no resemblance to him whatsoever. Supreme in authority and command, majesty and power. Al-Kabir, the greatest, the most great. Al-Muta'an, the supremely exalted. The supremely exalted. So he says, Rahimahullah, wa ta'ala fi azamatihi wa kibriyaihi wa malakutihi. Wa ta'ala fi azamatihi wa kibriyaihi wa malakutihi wa jabarutihi. An yakuna lahu munazi'un wa mughalibun aw waliyun min al-dhulli aw nasir. And he is exalted in his greatness, majesty, dominion, and might above having any rival, opponent, ally out of weakness, or one who can assist him. Wa ta'ala fi samadiyatihi. عن الصاحبة والولد والوالد والكفو والنذير. And he is exalted in his self-sufficiency, صمديا. And he needs nothing above having a spouse. He's high and free and exalted above having a spouse or a child or a parent or anyone equal or a counterpart similar to him. وتعالى في كمال حياته وقيوميته وقدرته عن الموت وسنته وعن الموت وسينته والنوم والتعب و Al-I'yan, he's exalted in the perfection of his life, self-sustenance and power above death, drowsiness, sleep, fatigue, or weariness. He doesn't die. Huh? He doesn't sleep. Inna rabbukum la yanam wa la yanbaghi lahu an yanam. Indeed, Allah, he doesn't sleep, and it's not proper or befitting for him to sleep. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. He doesn't even get tired or dreary. He doesn't get tired or sleepy. Yani, subhanahu wa ta'ala, powerful and strong. Absolutely. Absolutely and eternally, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He says, Rahimahullah, wa ta'ala fi kamali ilmihi, an al-ghaflati wa nisyan, wa an uzubi mithqali dharratin an ilmihi, fi al-ardi aw fi al-sama'. And he is exalted, high and lofty, in the perfection of his knowledge, above forgetfulness, heedlessness, or anything escapes his knowledge, or that anything escapes his knowledge, even at atoms with the smallest particle of weight, whether in the heavens or in the earth. وَتَعَالَى فِي كَمَالِ حِكْمَتِهِ وَحَمْدِهِ أَنْ خَلْقِ شَيْءٍ عَبَثًا وَأَنْ تَرْكِ الْخَلْقِ سُودًا بِلَا أَمْرٍ وَلَا نَهْيٍ وَلَا بَعْثٍ وَلَا جَزَاءٍ. He is exalted, high and lofty, into perfection of his wisdom, and praised above creating anything in vain or worthless without purpose. Or worthless without purpose, or leaving creation without commandments and prohibitions, or resurrection and recompense. Allah is high and lofty above that He would create His creation for no reason, for joking or playing, or so that the people can run and run and have fun and get married and eat and drink and the likes like this, and see pleasures. And there's no outcome. People can lie and cheat, and people are honest and trustworthy, and in the end, they're all treated the same. And in the end, they're all treated the same. In the end, they all go to the same place. In the end, they all have the same reckoning. This is not proper. This is not proper. This is not proper. So, whether Allah, from his highness and his loftiness and his exaltedness, is that he's high and perfect in his wisdom and his praise, high and lofty above creating anything in vain, creating anything without purpose or wisdom, and leaving the creation without commandments and prohibitions to do what they like, without guidance, and also without resurrection and accountability and recompense. High and lofty above that. Rather, indeed, he will. Indeed, he created the creation with wisdom and purpose, and he sent guidance and light, prophets and messengers with revelation, clarifying the commandments and prohibitions and the proper way to live life. And based upon that, there will be a resurrection, and there will be accountability, and there will be a group who's in paradise, those who are happy and pleased. And there will be a group who are in the fire, those who are disgraced and belittled. Wadiyadu billah. Wadiyadu billah. So this is from the beautiful wisdom, the amazing wisdom and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's high and lofty above creating the creation without purpose, without any commandments or prohibitions for the people, without any reckoning. Wa ta'ala fi kamali ghinahu an yut'ama aw yurzaqa aw yaftaqira ila ghayrihi fi shay. And he is exalted in his perfect richness and self-sufficiency above being fed or being provided for or needing anything from others in any way. وَتَعَالَى فِي جَمِيعِ مَا وَصَّفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ وَصَّفَ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنِ التَّعْطِيلِ وَالتَّمْثِيلِ وَسُبْحَانَهُ وَبِحَمْدِهِ وَعَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَتَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَتَنَزَّهَ وَتَقَدَّسَ عَنْ كُلِّ مَا يُنَافِي إِلَهِيَّتَهُ وَرُبُوبِيَّتَهُ وَأَسْمَاءَهُ الْحُسْنَى وَصِفَاتِهِ الْعُلَى وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He is exalted in everything he has described himself with and what his messenger described him with. Exalted meaning? High and lofty. High and lofty. We're talking about what? Ulu? Sha'n. Ulu Sha'n. He is high and lofty, exalted in everything he has described himself with and what his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has described him with above denial. Above ta'atil, denying any of the attributes or light or tashbih, liking them to anything in the creation. He's above that. He's above that, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we should deny his attributes that he affirmed for himself, or deny his attributes that his messenger affirmed for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala, Allah and dalika. Or that we would resemble him to the creation, that he has any likeness or resemblance to the creation whatsoever. Ta'ala Allah. And dalika aluman kabira. So he says, glorified and praised is he, exalted is he, and sanctified is he, and holy, pure. Above all that contradicts his divinity, lordship, his beautiful names, his lofty attributes. To him belongs the highest description in the heavens and the earth, and he is the Almighty, the All-Wise. ونصوص الوحي من الكتاب والسنة في هذا الباب معلومة مفهومة مع كثرتها وشهرتها. And the text of the revelation from the Quran and the Sunnah in this subject are well known, numerous and clearly understood. Numerous and clearly understood. After this, the author says, سؤال, question, ما معنى قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأسماء الحسنى من أحصاها دخل الجنة. من أحصاها دخل الجنة. Meaning of the Prophet's statement صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he said that Allah, he has 99 names, that Allah, he has 99 names, 100 minus 1, whoever enumerates them will enter paradise. Whoever enumerates them will enter into paradise. Inshallah, we cover this after Maghrib. Bithilahi ta'ala. I have some research prepared, and inshallah is in the May. I'm editing it now to discuss this question that we took this morning, the first one. What did the imams of the religion from the righteous and pious predecessors say regarding the issue of istiwa? And the rest of the attributes likewise. So I've gathered a number of statements from a number of scholars, any from the past scholars, any from the times of the early generations, like Imam Malik before him and after him, and until the time of Ibn Kathir, and so many hundreds of years, clarifying what he's mentioning here. We're going to read, inshallah, some of that soon, and some examples of what he's saying here. The pious predecessors, this is their creed. So to read this, to see this in the books, whether you'll find this in the books of hadith, like in the Kutub al-Sittah, you can find this affair where this is transmitted from the Salaf al-Salih and from the first generations that this was their creed. So this is something that people are not just claiming. Rather, if you do research and you look, you'll find this in the statements of the greatest imams of the Sunnah from the times of Imam Ahmed, before that Imam Shafi, and before that Imam Malik, and before that even the great imams before them from the Tabi'een and the likes like this. They were upon this creed, and this has been narrated and transmitted to us from them, just like the author he's saying. So we'll read, inshallah, a few texts just to emphasize this and to make that creed solid, inshallah, and firm in our hearts with regards to this affair. Add that, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.